Them. Malachi chapter number 3, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 9, it says, we can start in verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you have been a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for one more opportunity, Lord, just to be in your house around your people. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And, Lord, how you're working in people's lives here. And I just pray, Father, tonight, Lord, one more time, Lord, that you'd have me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray you help me to teach and preach, Lord, with the clarity and the power of the Holy Ghost this evening, Lord, on this subject, Lord, that is part and essential of a foundation of our Christian life. And I just pray, Father, that we wouldn't just turn it off because we've heard it so much, but, Lord, we'd open up our hearts and ears and be receptive, Lord, to what the Word of God really teaches concerning this. And I just pray, Father, Lord, you'd help us this evening. I thank you, Lord, for what you did this morning. Thank you for that missionary brother being with us and his family. I pray we continue to watch over them as they travel and try to raise the rest of their support to get over there to Korea, South Korea, to get into North Korea, God. And I just pray, Lord, you do a great work there. And, Father, we just love you. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. I pray, Lord, you'd help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so tonight we're going to be dealing and talking about and teaching on this subject of tithing and giving. Tithing and giving. And I want to introduce this tonight. I want to ask you a simple question. What is a tithe? It's a tenth. It's a tenth. That's literally what the word tithe means. It's a tenth. Now, what we've done in our culture and what we've done down the years is we've took that noun and we've turned it into a verb. And so when we say we are tithing, that means we are giving a tenth of our increase to the Lord. And so that's where that verbiage comes from. That's where that phrase comes from. And so when we're talking about tithing, we're talking about giving. Giving something back to the Lord, because we know everything we have comes from God. And whether it be our finances, whether it be our health, whether it be our talents, whatever we possess within us and around us, it's a gift from God. When we talk about tithing, and so many times it carries this negative connotation with it, and we'll get into the reason why I personally believe it's that way. But tonight, I want you to, before you just say, all right, here's the preacher talking about tithing again, don't tune me out, just listen. I'm not going to beat you over the head or anything like that, but I want to teach what changed my heart and changed my life concerning tithing and giving. And if I would encourage you to do anything in your Christian life is to take what the preacher says and go and study it for yourself. And see, I'm not against you doing that. Matter of fact, I had encouraged you to do that. One of the greatest changes in my Christian life was that I just woke up one morning and all of a sudden I was super understanding of everything. The greatest change in my Christian life came when you would think I would have realized that a lot sooner, but just a light bulb came on that it's great to listen to preaching, it's great to apply preaching, but it's also great on a personal level just to grab my Bible and to begin digging. And there's sometimes we come across questions where the answers aren't so easily defined, but yet the answer's there. And there's things that we could chase by the droves that are just interesting to think about and to try to. They have no doctrinal thing or anything like that. They're just interesting to think about. And I remember we studied, me and Ms. Becky one time studied, just try to figure out on what day did Adam and Eve sin? What day of creation or what day on the calendar? How long were they around before they committed that sin? What day was it? Anybody know? And I was hoping y'all could help me out with that. And we studied, and there was one man that said it was the 14th day, but he didn't give any kind of scriptural evidence to that at all. He just said he just say Hofford's not here. He would know probably. He enjoys that things, and he's got a mind for it. But I enjoy just trying to do those things. But tonight, as we look at this thought and this foundation of time. Giving is a foundation in your Christian life. It is what will, in one way, build you as a Christian when you begin to give to the Lord. But yet, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to do that. And there's just like it is in anything else in our Christian life. So here's the thing. Not only has God set the bar concerning the tithe, but he's also given us guidelines to help us do it the right way. He's set some things in order. One of the verses we'll get into in a little bit is that God loves a cheerful giver. And that we're not supposed to give grudgingly or of necessity. And that's a verse that we'll get into. And that those words aren't there by accident. So tonight I want to give you three aspects concerning tithing or giving this evening. Notice number one. We'll see the examples of tithing, and it's an interesting fact here and that we'll look into that most times when you mention tithing, here's what most, that's just Old Testament under the law. Well, that's partway right. It does take place in the law, but there's examples of giving outside, before, and after the law. First of all, tonight, we'll look when Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, however you want to pronounce that. Who was the king of Salem. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 14. Genesis chapter number 14. We went from the last book of the Old Testament to the first book of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter number 14. And then look down at verse 18. And it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed thee the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And he gave him tithes of all. Well, who gave the tithe? Abraham gave the tithe to Melchizedek. And you say, well, what did he tithe off of, or what did he give to Melchizedek? He gave him, at this point, Abram's won a war. He's won a battle against Sodom, and there's been some rewards from that battle, and he's thankful for that, and so he gives this tithe to Melchizedek. Now, let me ask you this. Where did Abraham learn how to do that? Where was he instructed in the law to do that? Well, he wasn't, preacher, because the law hadn't been written yet. Now, Melchizedek is actually a pretty interesting man or character in your Bible. Some people believe that Melchizedek is actually a theophany, however you pronounce that word. And, well, what is that, preacher? That is different times in the Old Testament before the incarnation of Christ where God shows up in the scripture. Most commonly, people will turn you to when Jacob wrestled the angel of the Lord. Most people think that was a Christophany or a Theophany, that he actually wrestled with the Son of God, or even in the three Hebrew boys. King Nebuchadnezzar said, lo, he looked like the fourth looks like the Son of God. But here some people believe that. But opinions on that can differ. But in reality, Melchizedek, he is a great picture and type of Christ. And I'll tell you why. He's both king and priest. He's both king and priest in your Bible. He said he is the king of Salem, but he was the priest of the Most High God. And now there's other people had this similarity. King Saul, at one point in his life, fulfilled both these roles, but he did the priest work out of disobedience. He wasn't supposed to. There was already a priest that was supposed to do that. It wasn't Saul's job, and the other one was Christ. Christ fulfilled that role, both roles perfectly. Well, how do you know that, preacher? One, he's the King of Kings. He sits upon his throne. There's nobody above him. There's nobody greater than him. He is the King of Kings, but he's also our great high priest. That's what Hebrews say, that we have a great high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows the pains. He knows the aches of our life. And yet, even though he's still our high priest, he's personal with us. And so he has both roles absolutely perfectly. And so this Melchizedek could be a type of Christ in the Old Testament. But notice, Abram gives the tithe to this king, and where did he learn that from? It's not anywhere mentioned before this where Abraham was instructed to do this, but it was inherently right to give respect to the one that was of the higher authority in his life. He was grateful and out of thankfulness gave a tithe to this great king of Salem, and then. We see it there in Abram's life. before the law was given. Now, we also see it when the law gave the instructions to the tithe, and we're instructed in the old, or in the law to tithe. Take your Bibles to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter number 14. Chapter number 14, verse number 22. Thou shalt surely tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And so we see they were instructed in the law to bring a tithe, this time not to an earthly king, but to a storehouse. But they weren't just giving it to the storehouse. They were giving it actually to God Almighty as because they've been commanded to do so. And they've been taught to do so through the law. And here's the thing. Well, why did God instruct them to tithe? The answer is found in verse number 23. Why were they instructed to do that? Look at the end of verse number 23. That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Here's the thing. We must remember, God does not need our money. He's not up in heaven saying, well, if so-and-so doesn't give, I don't know what I'm going to do. He spoke the world into existence. He know he has all power. He has all might. But he institutes this thing of giving so that the Israelites would learn to fear and to respect and to learn that they could continue to trust God and give back, and he would give back to them more than that they had given to him. Because he goes on to say in verse number 23, thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose thee. Thou mayest learn to fear the God always. The increase of thy seed, and it's in there somewhere. I had it wrote down. But he goes on to teach that I will continue to take on you. And that's the thing about the law. The law functioned on the conditional. If you do this, God will do this. If you obey these, that's what he told the Israelites. If you obey my commandments, I'll take care of you. If you do as I've told you, I will give you the land that is flowing with milk and honey. It was on the conditional. But when Christ fulfilled the law and he ushered in grace, grace functioned on the unconditional. The unconditional grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we were still on the conditional, none of us would have hope. None of us would have anything that we could actually hold on to, because even with grace, which is unconditional, me and you still fail every day. And so if it was only on the unconditional, we would have no hope this evening. But notice, so the law gave the instruction to tithe. The law had one purpose, and that was to show man their need of a perfect Savior. And it's called the schoolmaster that's concerning the law. But here's the thing. If you look that word tithe up, it's found twice in the New Testament. That specific word tithe is found twice in the New Testament. In both times, it's the same account, different gospels, one in Luke for sure. I can't remember exactly if the other one was in Matthew and Mark. But both times, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees concerning their tithe. Because that was the part of the law that they made, that they lifted up above everything else, because that was what they were doing. He said, you know, you pay your tithe on your mint and your herbs and your spices. He said, but you neglect every other part of the law. And so he was telling them and showing them that, yes, tithing's important, but it's not the whole thing, so to speak. That just because you do it doesn't make you better than anybody else. And so but the law gave the instruction to tithe. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. And we see this principle of tithing or giving to the Lord in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Verse number 1. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Then look at verse number 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so we see it's on an individual, as God hath prospered him. I'd be the first one to say I'm thankful that God didn't set a overall amount, so to speak, that all of us had to give $1,000 a week. Who could do that? He said, as I've prospered you, give. But the principle has been taught throughout the Bible of a tithe or a tenth. And so if that principle has been established, that'd be a good place to start. To get a good place to start in our giving. So the church was instructed by Paul to give a certain amount of their goods to help provide the needs of the church. And why'd you go there, Brother Tate? I wanted to show you, biblically, there's examples of giving and tithing. That it's in our Bible. It's not just something that a preacher made up somewhere along the lines, but it's in our Bibles. But notice number two tonight, that there's been some errors. There's been some errors. We'll get there eventually. It's thinking about it. There's been some errors in teaching about tithing. And so I want to give you two avenues that most the time that I remember vividly in my mind, just hearing over and over and over again as a reason to tithe. Notice the first one, the first way it's normally taught is you better tithe or you must tithe or you'll be cursed. You must tithe or you'll be cursed. So turn back to Malachi. I got you flipping all throughout your Bible tonight. Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3. I've got it marked and I'm here flipping through it. Look at verse 8 and 9. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And so no doubt, you can take these verses and turn it into a great moneymaker. You better tithe or you'll be cursed. And that sounds, I mean, it brings guilt to your conscience. That I better tithe or I'm going to be cursed. But here's the thing. If you keep that verse in its context, it's dealing expressly with the Jews. Dealing expressly with the Jews in their coming judgment. And God's saying, if you're going to turn some things around, he's saying, if you're going to act ignorant, I'm going to lay it out for you. This is what you've not been doing. But he's dealing expressly with them. And so even had they continued to tithe, they had greater problems than not just tithing. Look at verse number 7. He says, for even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. They hadn't just quit tithing. They had continued to walk away from the word of God and what they've been instructed to do. Those landmarks and those memorials that had been set up by the Israelites over time, they had just thrown away, cast down, didn't care about it anymore, and began to walk away from God. But God said, if you want point blank where you've been robbing me and where you've been falling short, he said it's been in your tithes and offerings, but he's dealing expressly with Israel right here, expressly with them. But I can't tell you how many times I've heard that preached. You better tithe or God's going to curse you. And that's the principle to most people's understanding of tithing. But here's the thing. If this principle is true, it has to apply to everything that we've been instructed to do in our Christian life. When's the last time you heard somebody preach it this way? You better soul win or God's going to curse you. You better come to church or God's going to curse you. No. Matter of fact, I've said this and I believe it to be true. You don't have to come to church to be saved. But God instructs us and gives us that direction that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But I don't think I've ever heard a preacher stand up and say, you better come to church or God's going to curse you. Or you better read your Bible or God's going to curse you. Or if you don't pray without ceasing, God's going to curse you. And so they take that principle, and it sounds good here, and no doubt it could probably fill up an offering plate, but it's filling it up for the wrong reasons. It's filling it up for the wrong reasons. And so this kind of theology might have lined up under the law, maybe, and therefore the conditional, but once again, we operate in the unconditional. We operate in the unconditional. And so there's this error in teaching that if you don't tithe, you'll be cursed. And we'll get into that. And the realities of the third point, we'll get into that, of how that's not God's plan. God, when he saved you, he made you aware that you were a sinner. He convicted you of your sin.
But did he leave you there? Did he say, oh, Brother Kim, you're just a sinner, and say anything else to you? No, he said, you're a sinner, but my son died for you. He convicted you so you would realize you're a sinner and be willing to accept the free invitation of salvation. It's how God works. And the same is true in our life. If there's one thing I don't want to do as a pastor is guilt trip you into serving God. Because once the guilt's gone, you're done. Once you've supposedly, or in a sense, got under my out from under my thumb, you're not going to serve God anymore. I want you to serve God because you simply want to please the Lord and be used of Him. So there's an error in teaching that you must tithe or you'll be cursed. And there's verses that you could turn to and say, well, you know, He's not appointed us under wrath. So it doesn't make sense in the whole spectrum of God's word to take that and say, well, you better tithe or you'll be cursed. And then on the flip side of it, so either you've got one man screaming and yelling, you better tithe or you'll be cursed. And then you've got one over here saying, well, if you tithe, everything that God has will be given to you. He will literally put zeros in your bank account that you can't even imagine. That health and wealth, prosperity, so to speak. And here's where they'll take you. Look at verse number 10 of Malachi chapter number 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Man, don't that sound good? It does. But remember, keep it in its context. He's dealing with the nation of Israel. Well, preacher, could you illustrate this to a point that maybe I can understand it? Let me ask you this way. Let's say right now, your job dried up. They called you. You got home tonight from church. We're thankful for what God, but you got home from church tonight, and your boss called you and said, hey, just want to let you know, you ain't got a job no more. You ain't got a job no more. And you've been faithfully tithing. You ain't got a job no more. And you go without a job 3 months. No steady income. Let me ask you, could you continue to live your life like you are tonight in a financial sense? No. No. Well, if you take this verse, then when you started tithing, you should have had more money than you know what to do with. Then you must not be tithing. I don't know about you, but I faithfully give to the Lord. But I'm nowhere near a millionaire. I'm nowhere near a billionaire. I'm nowhere near a 100,000-aire. I'm nowhere near a 50,000-aire. And so you can't take this out of context and say, well, when you tithe, you'll have money coming from everywhere. Tithing isn't, you don't give with this mentality that I'm giving this in a sense that I'm going to get rich by giving it. It's not the point of tithing. It's not the point of giving. Tithing has nothing to do with you getting rich. It's a lot more meaningful and deeper than that. And so we see the errors in the teaching about tithing. Notice number 3 tonight, we see the reality of tithing. We see the reality of tithing. And you say, preacher, are you teaching on this because the bank or the church's finances are low? No. Lord's been blessing. It's just simply a foundation in your Christian life. And here's the thing. There's so many preachers who are scared to talk about money that it doesn't get talked about, one, in the proper way or at all. And so many Christians just walk through a Christian life not understanding the great truth and blessing that comes from biblical giving. Just like during our missions conference when Brother Bob blew our minds on the reality of faith promise giving and how it's changed our missions program. It's increased it. And God's blessing that. Why? Because it's biblical. It's biblical. I think so many times we try to make the Christian life so confusing. And the Lord's probably sitting in heaven saying, no. I've tried to make it simple in the Word of God. Just read it and apply it and learn it. And so I want you to notice number 3 tonight, the reality of tithing or the reality of giving. Why do we tithe? Why do we give a tenth? Or why do we give to the Lord? And here's the thing, the reality of tithing, in reality, I just use that word a whole bunch.
But in actuality, tithing has nothing to do with money. Or money is not the central issue of tithing. In reality, it's a heart issue. Tithing and giving to God is a heart issue. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Here's the thing. Most people try to hide behind this. "Well, preacher, I ain't got money to tithe." It had nothing to do with money. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart. Now, let me ask you this. To prove this point, let me ask you this. Because reality, that's just a cover-up. It's a heart issue. It's a lack of trust in God's ability to provide. And which is quite an oxymoron if you really think about it. Because how many of you believe the moment you got saved for all of eternity? Amen. That's a biblical truth. I stand there. I stand firm on that. I'm not going to back down from that. And so what we all just raised our hand to was that God's able to continuously keep me where I am and continuously take care of me and promise to get me where I need to be and to be safe for all eternity. Now let me ask you this. Which one's greater? Eternity or your paycheck? Eternity or a tenth of your increase? So really, Ali, it's just a lack of God's, or you being able to trust God's ability to provide. And yet we struggle to trust Him to provide our needs if we decide to honor Him by giving Him a tenth of our increase. That's why God said in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Notice we're told not to give grudgingly or with an ungrateful attitude. And that doesn't just apply to giving of your finances or giving of your tithe to the Lord, a tenth to the Lord. Because, and I'm pretty sure there's some people out there, they write that check. "I really don't want to do this, but I don't want to be cursed." And so they write it begrudgingly. Not out of just a sincere heart of saying, I get the opportunity to give back to God who's given me so much. But notice tonight, not only in our tithe, but could you imagine if I called Brother Jed or those that will go out with us on Tuesday nights and said, "Oh, guys, it's Tuesday night, and we have to go out there and tell people about Christ. I really don't want to do it." And there's times when my flesh doesn't want to. But that's my flesh. My flesh don't ever want to do anything but be lazy. But could you imagine walking up to someone's door? "I really don't want to be here. But if you're to die right now, do you know where you're going?" That's going to reach them by the droves. Because when you knock on the door excited, on fire. We were at cookout a few nights after Sunday night service, and we had gone through the drive-thru and they forgot TR's fries, and it was the end of the world, so I walked inside to get him some fries. And there was a man sitting over there by himself, and I thought, well, that's why the Lord brought me into cookout, to give that man a track. And so I ordered TR's fries. They were getting it together, and I walked over to him, and I had one of those whosoever tracks. I says, "Hey, man, do you mind if I give you something that changed my life?" He said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "It's a tract. It contains the gospel and tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Oh, no, thank you." And I thought for sure that's why the Lord let them not put TR's fries in the bag. But yet, and so we go over there in all zeal and all excitement, and people still reject and people still don't respond. Could you imagine just knocking on people's doors saying, "Hey, here's a tract. Hope you do something with it." But yet that's how some people give to the Lord, grudgingly. "Here's my check. I don't really want to give it to you. I already had it spinning my mind." That's the heart that you give with. I'd encourage you to get your heart right before you give. But so not only are we told to give out of, or not to give grudgingly, or out of necessity, as in the sense that we don't have a say. And I think I've said it loud enough and long enough that you don't have to do anything in your Christian life. It's all by choice.
It's all by choice. And so Paul was showing, hey, don't come up here and say and think that you have to give and you have to do this and you have to do that. And that you don't have a choice in the matter. And that if you don't do it, God's going to kill you. He's going to curse you. He said, no, give out of a cheerful heart. Look and realize, my goodness, the Lord's given me this much. And he's provided this much. And he's took care of me this well. What is a tenth in all that he's given me? And all that he's blessed me with. And so the reality of tithing, it's a heart issue. And so we're told to give cheerfully, which can only be done with a right heart. So not only is it an issue of a heart, but it's also an issue of obedience. It's an issue of obedience. The principle of giving is clearly expressed in our Bible. It's clearly taught in our Bible that we're to give. In reality, in actuality, without giving, we wouldn't have a church. Well, we might have a building, but we have no lights in it. We have no air conditioners. We wouldn't be talking about changing out the flooring. We wouldn't be talking about buying this and doing these things and getting invested in these things and planning ventures and things. We wouldn't be doing any of that. Why, Brother Tate? Those things require money. Could you imagine Miss Phyllis writing the check out to Georgia Power? And instead of putting the dollar amount, she just puts faith. Georgia Power is going to quickly remind us that though faith is a great thing, and it's a wonderful thing, Georgia Power needs dollars and cents. They're going to keep on. But that comes through giving, which we tackled in the very first part of that. We're as a independent, fundamental Baptist church, we're a local body, we're autonomous, and it's through the giving of us that the church is maintained and kept up. And not just maintained in a physical sense, but it is through the giving of you and the members of our church that the gospel gets out. The gospel gets out. But here's the thing. Tithing is an issue of obedience. The principle of giving is clearly expressed in the Bible, and the precedent was set at 10%. But in reality, it hinges on whether you and I will decide to be obedient or not. And really, that's your whole Christian life. Are you going to be obedient or not? Are you going to obey what God has clearly instructed us to do and be obedient to it? So we are to learn this. Here's the thing. Obedience isn't nothing new either. Matter of fact, it's the first thing as a child we're instructed to learn. Children, we covered that 2 weeks ago. Children, where's TR at? What's it say, bud? Children? Obey your parents as he said it as he was diving back into the pew. Children, obey your parents. So that's something that we're supposed to learn at a young age. Not the influence of obedience, but the practicality and the promise of obedience. Because he said that's the first commandment with a promise or a reward. And so God always rewards obedience. And so as he's instructed us to give to the church and to give not just to the church, but give back to him a tithe, and we obey that, he'll bless it. He'll bless it. Now, you're probably not going to get. Might be great if you do. I would wish that all of us would have pockets just with money falling all over the place. We'd all have Brother Kim's wallet that he was talking about in Sunday school this morning. And it just money magically appears in it. And where they sell one of those? I need to go find me one of those. But in essence, when you obey God, there is a reward that's tied to it, no matter what part of the Christian life it is. If you obey him in soul winning, if you obey him in witnessing, if you obey him in studying, if you obey him in praying, if you obey him in preaching or teaching, obedience is always rewarded. And so you can't pull giving out of that and say, well, he's obedient or he rewards everything but giving. No, he does. And it may not be a financial blessing that ends up in your mailbox. You know how many times I've gone out to the mailbox at my house and picked up a $10,000 check? Zero. Because if that happened, y'all be hearing about it. I'm going to say, but it ain't happened yet. It ain't happened at all. At least not on that level. There was one time I walked out of the mailbox, and there was a $5 bill in it from my grandma in a birthday card. It was a blessing, and I thank the Lord for that. But When I give, I don't give expecting God just to give me all the money in the world. I give because it's the right thing to do. It's simply the right thing to do, to be obedient, to obey Him and what He's instructed us to do. And so just, here's the thing. If you obey the Lord with your giving, He will return your in your return, or He will reward you in your return. And you think about the lady in the Gospels that gave her two mites. How much money did she walk away with? Nothing. But she walked away with the Lord saying she gave more than anybody else. Why? Because she wasn't that she actually gave more than anybody else. There's people that gave more than her, but God rewarded her. We're still talking about her today. I mean, could you think of a greater reward than having your example of obedience being mentioned in the Word of God to be passed down for thousands of years? And that we learn from today. I don't know, but that's a great reward. There's some people that made it into the Bible, but I guarantee you they wish they hadn't. I guarantee you there's parts of Samson's life he wished hadn't been mentioned in there. Parts of David's life. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was thankful for Solomon, but if he could cut out that whole thing about killing Uriah and having an affair with Bathsheba, he would. But this widow woman, we don't know her name, but we sure do know her example. She was obedient in her giving. And God blessed her with a great reward, though not monetarily. Here's the thing. When you give, God, and you're obedient, God blesses obedience. He simply blesses obedience. Do you think the number of visitors that we've been having here is an accident? It's through obedience. Whether we're going out on Tuesday nights, I've got word of people going to the store, people on their job sites, handing out tracts, telling others about the Lord. Some of those haven't came yet, but God's been bringing them in. God's been bringing them in, and I praise the Lord for it. Why? God blesses obedience. He blesses obedience. God blessed obedience with summer camp. I just simply had to obey what the Lord had put in my heart. Was it easy? No. Was it even convenient? Not really. It put a lot more on us than what we had planned on. But God blessed it. God bless. I was talking to that missionary today, just bragging about our summer camp. And how God moved and how God helped our young people and how God helped me and how God helped the workers that were there. And how even with a tree falling on Miss Norma's car, God still got glory. And how I survived the ride in the back of a police car. But God blesses obedience in every aspect of your Christian life, especially giving. Especially giving. So I'd encourage you tonight. Don't fall under this teaching that you better tithe or you'll be cursed, or don't get this false mentality because I tithe, God has to give me everything that I want exactly when I want it. No, take the Bible for its truth and say, I'm going to tithe because I know it's the right thing. I'm going to give because I know it's the right thing to do. And God's instructed it, and therefore, I'm going to obey it.